Well, hey, I just want to welcome you. Thanks for tuning in. If you're online, if you're at East or wherever you're at right now, as you're checking out the message, we're in Jonah, and we've been, we dove in last week, and now we're in Jonah chapter 2. And one of the questions that I just wanted to start with, have you ever felt like you've been in a tight spot, right? Like, as soon as I say that, you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that time. My first speeding ticket felt like I was going to lose my mind, right? I worked around the oil at a church around the oil field. I had plenty of friends that came to me and said, you would not believe the spot I was in this last week. And then my mind would be blown. I'd be like, oh my word. And some of you have wrestled with being in a tight spot and going, oh, I'm so glad I'm out of that place that was so strenuous and so tough. And then you think you had a tight spot, and then you hear about some of those other stories that you're like, okay, maybe my situation wasn't as dire or tense as I thought. And so I brought a couple of examples. Some of you remember back in the 80s, baby Jessica, trapped in a pipe for 57 hours. Like, it captivated the nation, right? Like, There was news on it right away. It was just unbelievable, and they rescued her. There's the story in 2018 of a soccer team in Thailand that they were trapped for 17 days. They went on a hike in a cave. The waters came up, and they couldn't get out. For 17 days, they were trapped in a cave. Then there's Chilean miners back in 2010, and just the reality of that, I can't fathom that for that long, for those many days, trapped 69 days under the ground. And I've seen the pictures of the tunnels. Side note, Tim Hawkins actually has he's a comedian. He has a bit where he talks about the perspective of teenage girls and the Chilean miners. It's like, the teenage girl goes, "Dad, you know what was the worst today? I had to wait 15 minutes at the mall for my friends." And he goes, "Well, hey, let's put that in perspective of the Chilean miners. You know, my friends, this is bad. This is really bad being down here in this mine. But you know what's the worst? Waiting at the mall for your friends for like 15 minutes. It was the worst." Anyway, perspective is everything, right? And then 1981, Steve Callahan was adrift for 76 days in the ocean. Passed by a couple times. And I can't imagine the stress, the anxiety, the tension, the desperation, and the prayers that were offered up in these moments by some of these individuals and on behalf of some of the individuals. And it's just kind of crazy to think about those tight spots. And we're in the midst of the story. Last week, Pastor David kicked off Jonah and just talking about what was going on in the midst of Jonah. If you missed it, I want to encourage you to go check it out. It's worth your time, and you won't regret it. But he challenged us, where are we running from God? Are there areas in our life where we're running from God? Are there areas in our life where maybe God is trying to speak to us and we're not listening? We're not taking time to stop and to listen to what he might be wanting to say to us in moments. And one of the other things was, is there an area where apathy has taken hold in your relationship with God? Is there a place where you're apathetic and you're not moving forward? And one of the questions I was thinking about this week, Did any of you, and this is just for you to answer, did any of you hear from God in a new way this week? Because I believe it's powerful that if we stop, if we are intentional to listen, if we invite God into those moments and those places and those times, that he is faithful to meet us there in those moments, whether it led us to a conversation, led us to hear an affirming word, or whatever the case was, how powerful it is when God meets us where we're at. And if you remember the story, if not, I'll just kind of give you a brief. Jonah heard from God, go to Nineveh. And what did Jonah do? Jonah went in the opposite direction, the very opposite direction, as far away as he could go. And so instead of running the other way, he disobeyed God's command and was in an even tighter spot. Well, how could that be? We left off, he was thrown in the water. Well, he was swallowed by a fish. And I know Pastor David teased, hey, maybe we'll talk about the fish next week. We're not going to talk about the fish. Like it's a fish. You know, Jonah is the only documented individual that has been swallowed by a fish and survived. I mean, that kayaker only had 20 minutes of sheer terror. Talk about a tight spot, right? That was like just not long ago where this kayaker was kind of gobbled up by a whale for a little bit. But we pick up the story here in Jonah 2, verses 1 and 2, where it says, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He said, 'I cried out to the Lord in great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me.'" I don't know why Jonah wasn't convinced in the moments where all the other sailors on board that didn't believe in the God of heaven and earth were praying, and Jonah chose to go and to take a nap, right? I don't know why he didn't choose to pray in that moment. I don't know, but what we see here is Jonah is underwater in a large fish in the sea, and he begins to pray. And if you're like me, the reality is that's a great time to start praying. Am I right? Like, hey, I can think of a lot easier places where I've overlooked prayer. But if I'm in the belly of a fish and I am underwater, I am definitely not going to be sitting there twiddling my thumbs going, "Oh, I wonder what this is going to happen about." But what I understand also is anywhere a prayer of faith is offered, there's a direct connection to the Father. Anywhere a prayer of faith is offered, there's a direct connection to the Father. It doesn't matter if it's in a busy street. It doesn't matter if it's in a room at your house by yourself. It doesn't matter if you are out in the middle of nowhere with no cell service. It doesn't matter if you are surrounded by millions of people. If there is a prayer of faith offered, there is a direct connection to the Father. We see that to be true time and time again in his word. Some of those examples are Moses at the Red Sea. God parted the sea. Elijah on Mount Carmel, where fire fell from heaven after a prayer to say, "God, show yourself, reveal yourself." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God saved them from the fiery furnace. And then Peter, drowning in the water, cries out a prayer, "God, Jesus, save me." And Jesus reaches out his hand and saves him. And God answers these prayers time and time again, not just for his followers, but anyone who calls on him for salvation. Anyone that calls on him for salvation, like, "God, save me. I want you and no one else." And he is so quick to hear and to listen to those. And there are stories all throughout Fountain Springs Church of individuals that called out on the name of the Lord God and he saved them. And it's beautiful because that's not the end of those stories. There are stories, but I believe there are more stories of individuals that are going to call out to Jesus and say, "I want you and no one else." And how powerful that can be for us as individuals to know that he is still working. But it's not just in those regular places sometimes that we find ourselves, right? At church or maybe at like a camp or whatever. God shows up in unusual places. And one of my favorite stories comes from when I was a youth sponsor in college. I got the privilege to be a youth sponsor at an awesome youth group. And for 2 years, I had these guys that I was able to just do life with. It was so much fun to watch how God worked and moved in their lives. Is still doing that today. But the group under them was really known for evangelism. And they had an evangelistic heart to share Jesus with their friends. And one day, I say that they trapped one of their friends in junior high on the toilet. And Dave, they had been ministering to Dave for a long time. And they began to say, "Dave, today is the day. Right now is time for you to give your life to Jesus." And in that moment, on that toilet in junior high, Dave Stewart gave his life to Jesus with his friends surrounding him. And from that moment on, his nickname became Poop. And that's the only way I ever remember Dave Stewart. His nickname was Poop. But that tremendous story that God shows up anywhere and everywhere as long as we call on the name of the Lord and how powerful it is. And maybe you have a story like that where God showed up in an unusual, unexpected place. And in the middle of your life, you never, ever were the same. Because what I know, Romans 10:13 continues to prove true today. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, no matter where they find themselves. If you call on the name of the Lord, he's quick to listen. He's quick to hear. But the same is true, like the opposite of that, right? Like, because we see it so many times in the midst of life and moments of life where something bad happens, something crazy takes place. And we see it in movies, I think, a lot more than we do in real life. But maybe you've been there. "God, if you'll just get me out of this situation. God, if you could just take care of this right now, if you could take care of that officer, help him be called somewhere across town so he doesn't give me a ticket. I'll never speed again." or my prayer my wife prays all the time, if you could just have my husband wear his seatbelt every day of the week and twice on Sundays, that would be awesome. Anyway, then in those moments, we try to sweeten the deal even with God, right? We're like, God, I will never, ever do this again. I will do whatever you need me to do. And we try to sweeten this pot with God to try to make it seem like if we could get out of this, and maybe you've had those prayers and maybe your intention has been like, just get me out of this. But God calls us to something greater, and Jonah's story points to something greater. That's why we can't stop here. It wasn't, hey, God, just get me out of this fish. There was something more that's so powerful that Jonah continues to walk out as he's in the belly of this fish. And in Jonah 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, you threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence, yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. Jonah was in the depths of the sea, someplace no one had ever been before. Nobody had this story, right? And I think so often disobedience, which is what Jonah was in the middle of, looks like this. Disobedience takes us places we never intended to go and never wanted to be. Ultimately, the opposite direction of where God is. Because we've had those moments, right? Like, how did I get here? How did I find myself in this place? What am I doing here now? This is so far from where I ever wanted to be or what I ever thought life would look like. And how crazy it is to be able to see this wrestling take place when disobedience is at the heartbeat, at the core of how we're living. Because I can guarantee in this room, many can attest to this fact. I never thought I would find myself here. I never thought I would be dealing with this still. But what I'm so thankful for is that this is not the end of our stories. This is not the end of where God says, well, you've had your chances, you've had your luck, time has run out. I guess we'll have to move on and try to figure something else out. That's not the God that we have. And as we continue to watch this story unfold in Jonah 2, it says, I sank beneath the waves and the waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around me and around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth whose gates locked shut forever. But you, O Lord, my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. How powerful this imagery is in the midst of our lives. I was wrapped. I was entangled. I was at the bottom. There was nowhere else to go. And disobedience and sin look a lot like this. We're wrapped. We're entangled. We don't know where to move. We don't know where to go because we're caught in this place of the enemy blinding our sight and our vision, saying, you know what? God doesn't love you. He's not going to hear you. And you're wrapped and entangled in those lies, trying so hard and so desperately to hear the truth of what really is being said and what really God believes about you, because we see it at the end of verse 6. Oh Lord, my God, snatch me from the jaws of death. And in the midst of this, one of the promises that I believe is to be true, that God's sights are always set on us, even in our darkest moments and our circumstances. God's sights are always set on us, even in our darkest moments and circumstances. How powerful that is to know that the God of the universe sees you always. His sights are set on you. Whether you're going, like it says it very plainly in Romans, even before we knew him, he loved us. Even before we even thought one iota about him, he cared about us. And I know that as soon as I say that, some of you have already gone there. Yeah, I tried that one time. God didn't show up. God's not showing up right now. It's difficult. God, I prayed. You didn't answer. And we don't have time to walk through all that theology today. But my hope and my prayer is that you will see God's words, that he is with you, that he is for you, that he loves you, that his sights are set on you. And that if you're willing to trust and walk out what he's doing, you will see what he's doing and the plans that he has for you. I wish I could answer each and every one of those questions, because I know that in the midst of this moment, in the midst of this time where times are hard, what I do know and what I found to be true, that I can stand on the promises of his word, that I can trust what he says to me and about me and for me never changes. even if my circumstances don't change the way that I hope. And my hope and my prayer in the middle of this moment right now is that as you look around and look back, you can see the hand of God working. You can see his promises to be true. You can see his voice to be clear, and that you can trust, because even in James 1, we're reminded where it says, and I don't understand this verse because we've been wrestling with this and some guys that I meet with. James 1 says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kind, because the testing of your faith produces perseverance. How many of you have ever said that? God, I am so grateful today for all the trials that I have in my life. Man, let's get fired up. This is great. I don't think we do that. But if we say that with that caveat of, God, thank you for these trials in my life, I know that you are with me, I believe things begin to change and our perspective can be a little bit shifted to where it needs to be in those moments. As we continue on in this, James 2, verses 7 and 8, as my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods, turn their backs on all of God's mercies. Jonah says something in the last couple of verses that I think is worth paying attention to. He said, I looked towards your temple and I offered a prayer towards you. The Jews in this time believed that that's where God's presence dwelt, right? Was in the temple. It starts in Exodus 25 and 8, and there are multiple times at Shiloh and at the temple where God's presence dwelt, came and manifested itself down as a cloud over his holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was, and meeting with his people. And so Jonah, in the midst of being in the belly of the whale or the belly of the fish, whatever, is trying to determine and decipher, okay, which direction is the temple? God, I hope that you know my intention in my heart in this moment is to direct my attention and my thoughts towards you. I hope you see me. I hope that you know that my spirit is trying to seek and watch out for you. And I think that's such a challenge for us, because in that time, they believed they had to be close towards the temple or facing that direction. We, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, anywhere and everywhere can stop and drop to our knees, or be in a moment in a church, or be in the moment out in the middle of nowhere, or be in our cubicle at work. And we can say, God, I know that you're here. Your presence dwells among us. Help me hear you. Help me see you. And I want to just turn my attention to you right now. And you don't have to worry about the direction that you're facing at all, because he, in that moment, hears you and desires to be with you. And how powerful that is. God's presence, it also says, when we turn our attention to him, brings God's mercies. What are God's mercies? Just briefly, his compassion, his love, his kindness, him withholding what we deserve. If you've ever experienced that, like God's mercies at work in your life, his compassion, when you never were a person of compassion and suddenly you're feeling this overwhelming sense that, man, I care about what happens in their life, to go from not being kind to allowing kindness to be a driving force in the midst of your life, how powerful that reminder is. Wow. And it's not just this kindness that helps us get what we want. It's this kindness that says, I can't help but want to help you. I can't help but want to smile when I see you. And I'm so grateful for the way this love that is at work and the mercies of God at work in my life. If you've experienced those mercies, you know how powerful they are. You know how necessary they are for us to live a life that brings honor and glory to God. So Jonah, in all his running to get away from the Lord in this situation, he knew he could never escape from his presence. And he would have known that. Pastor David said it last week, right? Jonah was a prophet. And in the middle of that being a prophet, he knew that he heard from God, go to Nineveh, be obedient. And Jonah chose to go the other way, to get away from his presence. And there was no way. He would have known what David said in Psalm 139. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heavens, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest ocean, even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I don't know about you. Sometimes I read scripture and I'm like, I want to try that, right? That sounds a lot like Tom Cruise stunts, right? Like, can I ride on the wings of the morning just one time? What would that even look like? Some of you are like, yeah, that sounds dangerous. I would never do that. Let's put that aside. How cool would it be to ride on the wings of the morning? I don't even know what that means, but it sounds awesome, right? So like I said, it sounds like a Tom Cruise stunt. Like, let's get fired up. But I love this passage of scripture. I can never escape. I can never get away. No matter where I go, no matter what's going on, no matter how far away I believe a lot of times in our lives, we believe the lie that we've gone too far and there's no way that we could get back where he could find us, rescue us, love us again. That's why it is so vital for us to know the word of God. Because if we're going to know the word of God, we're going to see the promises of God. And if we're going to understand the promises of God, we're going to begin to understand that his word is true and that it affects our lives and it should infect the way in which we live each and every day. Do you know his word? Do you trust his word? Are you willing to say yes to his word that no matter, God, I don't understand the situation, I trust that what your word says is true. Because this, if that's true, then this is true. If God can meet Jonah underwater in the belly of a whale, he can meet you wherever you're at. If God can meet Jonah in the belly of a whale, he can meet you wherever you're at. Jonah's earnest prayer lifted in the belly of the fish should challenge us. Jonah references a prayer from the depths and even the place of the dead. And the Hebrew word for dead is Sheol. And Sheol is this word that they use to describe the land of the dead. That he had gone to the grave, essentially. There's no way we can come back from the grave. We only know one individual that went to the grave that came back to die and to be our life and to be our hope and to be our redeemer. And in the middle of this moment, do you trust that he is the one that can go from the furthest depths to the highest heights and bring us together to trust him and to see him at work? Because the Psalms remind us there's nowhere we can go that his power can't reach us. He is always near. And it's my hope that that brings you peace, which is so necessary for us to strengthen and encourage us in our days. Whether we fear we've gone too far in any way to return, whether we battle and struggle with the lack of peace in our lives, we're robbed of living a life to the full that Jesus came to bring us. But if we're honest, it's not just those dark moments of anxiety that can take over. We need to be on guard each and every day so that we can practice the power of God's presence in our life and have victory. I've been having conversations off and on. Rachel and I always do, like, hey, if the girls come and say we can't sleep or we have an issue here, oftentimes our response is, have you prayed about it? Well, it's bedtime. I'm going to sleep. I'm trying to sleep. Yeah, but have you been praying? And, well, what do I pray about? Well, hey, let's start listing off the people that you really like and want to pray for, and then go from there. Pray for mom and dad. Pray for grandma and grandpa. Pray for all your friends, that list of people that you know. Pray for those people you don't get along with. Pray for your school, all those things. Listen, and you're like, does it work? Sometimes, maybe God is trying to speak to you. Maybe you just need to be quiet and listen. But I guarantee you, God is not going to be mad if you fall asleep praying to him. Right? Like, how much cooler can it get? Well, how'd you sleep last night? Well, I was praying to God and I fell asleep. And God's like, I know, it was awesome. Like they just dozed off in the middle of praying for their grandparents. It was the coolest thing. You finished and began your day praying for those people that you love and in conversation with the God that loves you. Those moments can be powerful in teaching how the peace of God can transform every moment of our lives. Sometimes a lack of sleep. Because what I know is the opposite of prayer is that anxious thoughts rob us of peace. Anxiety robs us of peace. But prayer ushers in God's peace and provision. Prayer ushers in God's peace and provision. And how powerful it is to think about God just ushering these things into our life that we need. Do you need more patience? Let me usher that in. Do you need more peace in this midst of this situation? Let me usher that in. Do you need more compassion for those people at work? Let me usher that into your life. Do you need more kindness towards your spouse? Let me go ahead and usher that into your life. God's provision is endless. There is no way he's gonna run out like, oh man, Chris has not been kind this week and I am pretty close to tapped out of offering him that. No, it just keeps coming and keeps coming. And how faithful he is to meet us in those places. And you're like, Pastor Chris, how do you know that prayer works? How do you know that it battles anxiety? His word says so in Philippians. don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. His peace is otherworldly. There's no parameter that you can go to that says, oh man, I can describe God's peace. No, you can't, because it says it right here. His peace that transcends all understanding. You may want to have a grasp of it. You may get a little insight of it, but as far as you get to here, if that's your thinking, it goes even further. It blows it out of the water. And in the middle of this time, anxiety is a tool that the enemy uses to distract and derail us. Where are you allowing anxiety to creep in? Because it never just takes a tiny bit, right? It talks about in God's word, don't give the enemy a foothold. Don't give him an inch. He'll take a mile. Have you ever neglected prayer as a weapon from the attacks to your heart? He wants his peace to guard your heart and your mind. You imagine the difference in the midst of your life right now if you let Jesus Christ stand guard at your heart and mind and allow him to deflect the fiery arrows of the enemy and see peace begin to be the thing that pervades your life and comes in like a flood. How powerful that is. Because of this, imagine the dark places we would avoid if he was guarding over your heart and mind. You imagine, like, at night in the darkness of your room, it's just you. It's not always him that wants to work. It's the enemy that wants to work in those dark moments, isn't it? Hey, nobody's watching. Hey, this is going on. Go ahead. Do what you need to do. Take care of what you need to take care of. Man, that battle, the enemy wants to feed in and say, no, listen, do what you got to do to get that peace you need to get. Take care of it. God's not watching. Nobody's watching. Do what you need to do. Why wouldn't we allow the peace of God to guard our hearts and our minds so that we can come out of those moments free from what the enemy is trying to do to tear us down, to rip us apart, to distract us from what he wants for us and in us? There's something powerful about praying for the peace of God. It transcends all understanding. It causes us to live differently. It causes others to take notice of what is going on in our life. It brings people with curiosity of how we could even live that way in the midst of our circumstances. It believes that God could use a fish to grab the attention of a runaway heart. It can bring thanksgiving and hope to whatever our situation is, so that when God shows up, what should be our response? And I believe Jonah shows us this way in Jonah 2, verses 9 and 10. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. The Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah out on the dry land. Can we just take a moment to realize how disgusting Jonah must have been in that moment? Dirty and gross and just yuck, right? Like, some of you have caught fish and accidentally left it somewhere in your car, and you're like, that was a terrible mistake. Some of your kids play hockey, and you know what dead fish smell like, right? Oh, it's nothing worse than a hockey bag that sat in a trunk for a week. Anyway, but here's the kicker. Jonah gets vomited out onto dry ground. The Israelites walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. Elisha and Elijah walked across the Jordan River on dry ground. You understand that dry ground brings sure footing. And I believe that this passage is saying that God put Jonah on sure footing so that he could go do what he was supposed to do. Because this is what I believe answered prayer should lead us to. Answered prayer should lead us to offering, lead us to obedience and offering praise. Whew. Those individuals at the beginning of this story never stop talking about what God did. We should not stop talking about what God has done in our lives. Answered prayer should be met with obedience and praising God for what he has done, what he continues to do, and how he was working in our lives. May we never stop giving God the praise for how he has worked and moved in our lives. Even when we face bumps and moments that make us wonder, God, are you still there? Yes, he is. Do we trust him enough in the middle of this? Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of a fish, and it changed everything for him. There was a process that God walked him through. Jesus spent 3 days in the belly of the earth, and it changed everything for us, because now we have a way to the Father, and we have the promise and hope of heaven, which is the ultimate goal anyway. And so you're like, oh, Pastor Chris, what does that mean? How do you break that down? I've seen this at work in my own life. It's going to be tough. My mom and dad, my dad was in the Army, and my mom played piano at my grandparents' church. And dad was in the Army far from God. And mom was faithful to play piano. And Grandma Manley and Grandpa Manley and Grandma Pearl were like, oh, man, you got to meet Doug. It's going to be all. And my mom would be like, I have no desire to meet a pastor's kid that's far from the Lord. That's just zero desire on my list right now. And he comes back, and they somehow, I don't see, he was a charmer, apparently, allegedly, he was a charmer. And in February they met, and they were married in September. And they were in a car after marriage driving, and dad was going to go be a line cook or a cook of some kind. And he could make a mean breakfast. Let's get fired up. Like, I would be in so much trouble if my dad was still a cook. Like, oh. And he pulls on the side of the road. And he looks at my mom and says, it's not what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm in a tight spot here. This is not what life is supposed to be doing. I think I'm supposed to be a pastor. And in that moment, they surrendered to what they thought was supposed to be what they were doing. And they turned and they went the other direction to Oskaloosa, Iowa, to Vernard College. And dad became a pastor. And I can't imagine what my life would be like if my parents hadn't walked in obedience and said in their darkest moment, here's what we know we need to do. We need to say yes to Jesus. And that makes all the difference for me, I believe, because of their faithfulness to walk it out. And I want to be faithful because I've seen it exampled in my life. And I don't know about the tight spot that you're in today. If we went around the room, I'm sure we would come up with some seriously tight spots where God needs to work and you need to give him the ability to work. And so we're going to make space for that right now. After I pray, I'm going to open up. You can come to the front. You can sit where you're seated and pray. You can kneel down at your chair, whatever you would like. Maybe for some of you today, you need to pray and surrender leadership over your life to Jesus Christ. For some of you today, you need to pray with your spouse sitting next to you, and you need to ask God to intervene in the midst of your marriage or on behalf of your kids or a work situation or whatever it is, and say, God, whatever you want to do, whatever is happening in our lives, help us to trust you. We're in a tight spot. For some of you, you're praying on behalf of somebody else, and you just want to ask God to work and move in a mighty way. Maybe you need the peace of God to quiet your anxious thoughts and to live with him as the guard of your heart and mind. And maybe you need to pray that God would help you walk in obedience to his word and trust his word today. Whatever it is, I'm gonna pray. And then if you want to come, there will be some people that can pray with you, or you can come and just spend time here or where you're at. But don't miss a moment to pray. And AJ is going to pray and sing after this. But I just want to ask that you would join me right now. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, for this moment. God, the promises that doesn't matter where we go, that you are not there. Not just that, but it says you never slumber or sleep. And how amazing it is that your thoughts about us, and God, that you call us back to you, and that in those tight spots and those tight moments of life, you draw us to you and help us to see your kindness and compassion at work, and help us to understand and to trust that your word is right and that it's true and we can bank our lives on it. That Heavenly Father, that as we come to you, that you would hear us, and the promise that you hear us is provided in your word. And so, dear Heavenly Father, help us to be submissive this morning to say, God, whatever it is you have for us, wherever it is I'm at, I know that you hear me, and I lift my prayer up to you, that you would get all the honor and all the glory. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.